for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday evening, September the 29th, 1998. Feast of Tabernacles Convocation, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Colonel Speed Wilson, Marine Corps retired, is the speaker of the evening.
I've called you forth. Walk in my boldness and know that I am the God that delivers my people and walk in my ways, and I will never leave you nor forsake you, for I am your overcomer, says the Lord.
You are my sons of the living God. So walk in it, saith God. And he says, and lift up to me and put me into remembrance what I've said to you, saith God.
Okay. Let us pray. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we rebuke and bind any spirit of fear that might interfere with what will be said tonight. And we invoke the spirit of a sound mind.
Yes, Father.
And we do receive the promise of peace that our Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior promised that we could have. And we pray this in his wonderful and holy name. Amen. So be it. Now, I want to say right away, I'm not going to recover ground that I've done here before, just briefly. But talking to Glenn, I'm going to suggest that if you want the details where we really establish there is a conspiracy by words of the conspirators and other world leaders who have seen it and recognized it and had to contend with it, and that was a 90-minute talk. So the talk of understanding world events, that's the title of that one, where we establish those things. And the one we'll have tonight, which is simply an update on the New World Order. So, and Glenn has agreed that you can get two of those for $6, and that's a bargain. Because we'll be saying some things you might want to review. And I just want to point out to you that knowledge is very important to God. In fact, among the Hebrews, study and gaining knowledge was considered the highest form of worship. We all know the scripture of Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you. They usually don't quote that. And also it goes on to say your children are going to have a hard time too. Isaiah 5:13 says, my people are taken into captivity for the lack of knowledge. 2 Peter 1:5, add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge. Isn't that interesting? Number 3 on the list. Proverbs 11:9, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. So without knowledge we can be enslaved or destroyed, but with knowledge we can be delivered and saved. Knowledge does require some effort, but God's wisdom comes from God. As I can see, wisdom gives you an understanding of what to do with the knowledge you have. And without the wisdom, knowledge is very true. Interesting. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, if you think education and knowledge is expensive, try ignorance. But, and we know there are 9 times in the New Testament God said, I would not have you ignorant, brother. And of course, if God wouldn't have us ignorant, we're ignorant by choice. That's not his. And, of course, I like the story that goes along with that. There was a lovely girl in a church, and there were about a dozen young men that just was convinced that she was to be their bride. And one was very spiritual and very insistent, and finally he insisted that she give him a scriptural answer. So she took one of those I would not have you scriptures and repunctuated, and it came out this way. I will not have you, ignorant brother. A comma can make a difference. Well, I'm what the liberal media would call a radical religious fanatic, a radical religious right is the term they use. And Hillary used that term and all the other. And I was once asked if I resented being called a radical religious right. And my answer was, no, that's a whole lot better than being a radical atheistic left. And the guy that asked thought he had me, so he said, well, who are some of the radical atheistic left? I said, well, that's very simple. Those are the ones that call me radical religious right. You see, they identify themselves. Didn't like that answer. But anyway, I'm also what they would call a conspiracy nut. Well, I could give you a whole list, as we do on the other tape of Understanding World Events, other conspiracy nuts. One of them, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a member of the conspiracy, he said, and he actually wrote, in national and international affairs, nothing happens by accident. We know now that Pearl Harbor didn't happen by accident. And we know that he had already told Churchill he was coming in 6 months before we did. Now, that takes planning, or conspiring, if you prefer. Well, if they do that planning and conspiring in secrecy, what they do, then it is legally a conspiracy. And it only takes two people, by legal law, to be guilty of conspiracy. And they're much bigger than that. Abraham Lincoln, 1863, said and wrote this: the money powers prey upon our nation in times of peace and conspire against it. Did you get that? Conspire against it in times of adversity. They're more despotic than a monarch, more insolent than an autocracy, and more selfish than a bureaucracy. I see in the future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my beloved country. Corporations have been enthroned. Now, that was in 1863. Corporations have been enthroned. An age of corruption in high places will follow. Boy, what a prophet. And the money powers of the country will endeavor to prolong their reign by collecting into a few hands the money of the nation, the wealth of the people, and our republic will be doomed. President James Garfield said essentially the same thing, and John Kennedy, shortly before he was killed, said essentially the same thing. Benjamin Disraeli, and Prime Minister of Britain, 1876, said essentially the same thing. Woodrow Wilson, who gave us the Federal Reserve and the IRS in 1917, repented and said essentially the same thing. Winston Churchill had a long discourse on the conspiracy, and he called it conspiracy. All these quotes are on the other tape. J. Edgar Hoover, short statement, 1954. The individual person is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he can't believe it really exists. Then I'm going to read from a book by Dr. Lacey, which he published in 1988, called Valley of Decision, an outstanding little book. Only cost $1. What he was trying to do was he was trying to tell the people who George Bush and all of his conspirators along with him really were. And he was supporting Pat Robertson for the presidency. And here's what he wrote in his book. Most American Christians have a hard time believing that other Americans could be so evil as to purposely cause wars, wage wars for political and economic reasons, and lose wars deliberately, aid the other side while our men are dying on the battlefield, sink our own national sovereignty to prepare America to be just another province and a world government, promote collectivism and amorality, no morals, in order to prepare America for the new world order, destroy the family and true faith in God in order to break down the final barriers of opposition, and purposely undermine the most rewarding economic system that working people and the poor people have ever experienced in the history of mankind. Then the clincher. all just to create the chaos needed to stampede an entire nation into demanding its own enslavement. Now, we're at that point. When I joined the Marines in 1942, June of 42, I enlisted, and I took an oath that I would defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I would obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, so help me God. But a year later, June 1943, when I graduated from Pensacola, Florida, the oath was a little different. I solemnly swear to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign or domestic, so help me God. I didn't pledge allegiance to the President. I pledged an allegiance to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign or domestic. And it wasn't until 1968 that I came to the sudden realization that the enemies of the Constitution are not foreign, they're among us. They're domestic variety. That was a real jolter to me when I waked up to who McNamara and Dean Rusk and the bunch was, and spending a lot of time in the Pentagon, and at that time been a veteran of two wars, my immediate reaction was just to go around to his office at 500E and just blow him away. But I decided, well, they had a lot more, and the next one might be just as bad, if they could be as bad as Robert McNamara and his whiz kids, Dr. Enthoven and Volz, educated far beyond their intelligence and delusions of grandeur. And they really were. But they knew what they were doing. And once you can understand the objectives, then you can understand why things have happened in the past, why they're happening that way now, and you can begin to tell what they hope to happen in the future. We'll have to wait and see how that works out. 1975, Ralph Epperson wrote a little book, about 400 pages, entitled The Unseen Hand. I want you to hear this. There is a huge and extremely powerful conspiracy at work in the world to achieve absolute and brutal rule over the whole human race. This conspiracy is made up of small groups of individuals who control wars, revolutions, and depressions like people control chessmen on a board. These individuals operate in part through secret societies that are created for specific purposes or events. And this is the punchline. The secret within the secret is that they worship Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Their God is the devil. George Bush was a third generation member of the Yale Skull and Bones, a Satan worshiping group. When he says, God bless America, he wasn't thinking of the same God you're thinking of. You ought to read some of the words of the great grand poobah of the Masons, Albert Pike, another Arkansas boy. But anyway. Yeah. You ought to read his comments. By the way, Bob Dole was a 33rd degree Mason, still is. And on. Well, they worship Lucifer, the Satan. Now, in 1968, when I waked up to this, I read a very small book entitled The Naked Capitalist. And it said on the cover that this is a condensation of Dr. Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, with editorial comments. It was really an eye-opener. I couldn't find a copy of Tragedy and Hope at that time. It was written in 1966 by Dr. Quigley, a professor at the University School of Foreign Affairs at Georgetown, and one of his students. In fact, his prime mentor is our current president. And the current president acknowledged that when he accepted the Democrat nomination for president the first time. And it's 1,384 pages of documentation. I found it in the Library of Congress. It is available now. It's been reprinted. But listen to what he says. There does exist and has existed for generations an international Anglophile network which operates to some extent in the way that the radical right believes the Communist Act. In fact, this network, which we may identify as roundtable groups, has no aversion to work with anyone, communist or otherwise, and often does. I know of this operation, of this network, because I have been a part of it for 20 years. And in the last 2 years, to examine its papers and secret records. The American branch of this organization, by which some would call the Eastern Establishment, has played a very significant role in the history of the United States in the last generations. In New York, it's known as the Consul on Foreign Relations. President Clinton just addressed it recently, the CFR. The objective, this is continuing quoting Dr. Quigley, who died last year, year before, the objective of this establishment is nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world. Listen to this now. Freedom of choice will be controlled within very narrow alternatives by the fact that every person will be numbered from birth and followed as a number through education training, required military or other public service, tax contributions, health and medical requirements, and finally, retirement and death benefits. That's the end of the quote from him. Of course, that is your Social Security number. Up in Canada, it's their Social Insurance number, abbreviated SIN. It's their SIN number. And a law was passed by Congress under the illegal immigrant type thing. They failed to get a national ID passed under that guise. So illegal immigrant type thing, they passed it through and passed it on over, and the president signed it, of course, passed it to the Transportation Department, and their objective was to have a national, or your driver's license would be your national ID. It was supposed to have been the first of next month, almost immediately, but they're running a little behind, so they may move it back. But it will have your Social Security number on it. Ohio already conforms. I have mine. And it'll have the barcode on it. And later ones will probably have a chip in them. So we're getting there anyway. But control is the name of the game. The preamble to the United Nations New World Order Constitution has already been written. In fact, in the previous tape, I point out and prove by legislation that this nation ceased to be a sovereign nation the second day of April, 1992, when the Senate, by a voice vote, ratified the United Nations Human Rights Bill. Always sounds great. See, Carter signed it back in 77, October 77. No president had signed it prior to that time and refused to, because if that treaty was ever signed by the president, ratified by the Senate, we cease to be a sovereign nation. Well, one of the last things Bush did was submit it to the Congress, and on the second day of April, 1992, the Senate approved it by a voice vote. And on that day, we ceased to be a sovereign nation. That's the reason you see we're transferring everything over to the United Nations. So when people ask me, when's the New World Order coming? It's here. We already have it. It's just wrapping up the details now. But here's the preamble to the New World Order Constitution. Therefore, the age of nations must end, and the era or the age of humanity begin. The governments of nations, not the people, the governments of nations have decided, in order to separate sovereignties into one government of justice to which they surrender their arms, and to establish this Constitution as the covenant and fundamental law of the Federal Republic of the world. I referred this morning to one of the final nails in this coffin as the International Court of Criminal, International Criminal Court. Just the 17th of July this year, 1998, it was introduced, and it's horrendous to see how they got this through. The and this, well, I'll just read it. 120 nations have voted in favor of approval of this International Criminal Court. Only six nations, including the United States, voted against it, and 21 nations abstained. But the new International Criminal Court will come into existence in The Hague once only 60 countries have ratified the treaty. 120 have already voted for it, so they'll have no problem getting 60 to ratify it. The International Criminal Court will have universal jurisdiction. And it's so loosely worded that they can come into a country and pick up anybody for almost anything and try them in an international tribunal. And that's made up of a group of nations that call us the Satan. So you can imagine an American citizen will be treated horribly in that whole thing. Now, in the other tape, I covered the origins of this conspiracy, the organizations of this conspiracy, the operations of the conspiracy, and its objectives. We're not going to go over those again. Because there's too much happening, we can't keep going back and laying the foundation, which that's all we've done up until this point right now. You have to remember that their objective is absolute control. And there's another quote we could have pointed out, that the CIA and the other people in the government that are in the power have orders from the White House, beginning with Franklin Delano Roosevelt and on down through today, to so alter life in the United States that we can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. So that's the reason these trade organizations are so necessary, NAFTA and GATT and WTO, the World Trade Organization. They will destroy the United States economically. Quigley pointed that out. He called it controlled disintegration. And we're disintegrating right now. And it's going to get worse. Now, they want a global plantation where the masses of the people are slaves in the one world government, which is the United Nations. It was established for that. Maybe you didn't know it, but when George Bush, in preparing to go to the Gulf War, which was a war to reclaim the oil for British Petroleum, and British Petroleum just bought the American oil company, or Amoco. I'll run out of gas before I buy gas from BP or any other, because the MiGs over in Korea had all British engines in them and BP Petroleum. And so it was to make the Middle East safe for BP, British Petroleum. And the United Nations, you might not know that when George Bush says the United Nations is about to fulfill the its function as envisioned by its founders. Well, the group that established the United Nations was headed by Alger Hiss, who was later convicted of perjury as a member of the Communist Party. Isn't that interesting? It wasn't against the law to be a communist, but it's still against the law to do what our president has done, commit perjury. If you can commit perjury, then the whole legal system falls apart if there's no penalty. And if he gets by with it, if I was ever in court and didn't want to testify, I wouldn't invoke the Fifth Amendment. I would invoke the Clinton Amendment. You know. I thought it was cute. Pat Robertson, getting pretty risque on the 700 Club, said that when Clinton was up in New York just recently speaking to the consul on foreign relations, he took his family, his wife and Chelsea, to see the play on Broadway entitled The Lion King. And he says, you might well say that the Lion King went to see The Lion King. A subtitle could be The Lion King went to see The Lion King. But anyway, you know, it's sad. I often wondered what people think about us overseas. My son faxed me a picture of a float in a German parade, and it showed the Statue of Liberty, and Bill Clinton was fondling the Statue of Liberty. So that's what they think of us. And this man wants to represent you internationally. As he said just the other day, I want to get on with what the people sent me to do, and that's here to take care of you and your children. Yeah, he'll take care of you and your children. We'll get around to that in a minute. It's going to be a global plantation, and we'll be slaves. The one world government, controlled by international corporations of industry, banking, and it's the Rockefeller Rothschild Group. They own all of that stuff. From here on, if I refer to it, I'll just say Rockychild. You know, I'm talking about Rockefeller Rothschild. Remember what Abraham Lincoln said 135 years ago? Corporations have been enthroned and they'll rule the world. In fact, there have been many substantiations that right now governments exist only to do the bidding of corporations. And if they don't, they're out because corporations have enough money. Most of them tax exempt, which means if you believe in we need taxes to run the government, which we don't, you and I are paying for what the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, and many others are doing in supporting these oddball things which are destroying our country. They support the environmental thing. And global warming, well, I don't want to get off on that. Global warming is just a lot of hot air. It's nothing there. But I stayed in the home of at Princeton University of Dr. Becker, who is a professor of climatology, and he said the trouble with these idiots is they don't know the difference between weather and climate. Climate is something over 100 years or more, and weather is what we had yesterday or the day before. In fact, we're, well, okay. And to say that, you know, we got to quit using Freon because it goes up and it destroys the ozone layer. Well, NASA established 7 years ago that what we do here on Earth has no effect on the ozone layer. It's all related to what's happening on the sun. When it has these sunspots and things, the hole gets bigger when it's over. And the government can't do anything about it. And besides, as an engineer, I knew that Freon is heavier than air. It doesn't go to the ozone layer if you spill it. It goes on the ground. Yeah. But these people aren't, they're not inhibited by science. I saw a list of the concerned scientists of America that are popping all this bloop, and whoever wrote it pointed out there were only three scientists out of about 140 of them. The rest of them all liberal arts and just jerks off the street. But that doesn't bother them. They'd have to do something else if it isn't that. But I know you'll be real pleased to know that the International Monetary Fund, which includes the World Bank, started their meeting today in Washington, D.C. And they'll be meeting through until the 8th of next month, of October. And here's what they're meeting to do. September the 29th through October the 8th in Washington, D.C. The event will include seminars on, quote, changing dynamics of global investment flows, implementation of financial architecture of a global economy, the challenges of harnessing knowledge and information and technology for the development of the next millennium in a new world order. That's what they're going to be doing. And I could read you the list of the people who'll be listening. The reason that's important to you, because the United States provides about 60% of all the money that goes into the International Monetary Fund. The International Monetary Fund is a worldwide Federal Reserve. And once a country needs the help of the International Monetary Fund, that country ceases to be a sovereign nation because they lay down conditions they have to meet before they get the money. And so it's a way of consolidating in. And once you're on the dole, you can't get off. They'll see to that. Yeah. History shows that the best way to get for a government to change the attitudes of its people and control the society is to get them into a war. Because the individual will make sacrifices of money and freedom to defeat what he perceives to be an enemy. The New World Order creates wars and controls both sides, what Dr. Lacey said. We had the Korean War won twice, possibly three times while I was out there the first year of the war. And each time we had it won, we had to blow up our ammunition and withdraw. Never bring the ammunition out. That's good for DuPont, you know. And I couldn't understand that. But absolute control during a created or arranged national emergency is a horrible prospect. In World War II, Congress gave the power to Franklin Delano Roosevelt called the War Powers Act. And that had no terminal date on it. What it does is in a national emergency declared by the president, then all the executive orders that he has existed become the law of the land. Congress is out. The Constitution is out. Constitution's already out. But it becomes a dictatorship. And Clinton has issued more executive orders than any peacetime president in our history. Now, here's the way it works. The president can issue an executive order, and it's published. And if Congress doesn't challenge it for 30 days, on the 31st day, it's given a sequential number and entered into the Federal Register. And most of your libraries will have a Federal Register. And it then becomes the law of the land when the president declares a national emergency. One of the many things that Clinton has done in all of his issuance and cancellations, one thing he did for sure was he canceled an executive order that Mr. Reagan had put into effect, that Mr. Reagan and the executive branch would never, never approve or sign any law from Congress that would have an adverse effect on the traditional family underline. On the 28th of May, 1998, Clinton canceled that one, and he issued also Executive Order 13038, which completely erases the 10th Amendment of the Constitution. When he declares it, what is the 10th Amendment? It says this: all powers not specifically given to the federal government remains in the individual states or the people. You can check the Constitution. Once I found out I was supposed to defend it, I thought I ought to read it. And you can understand it. It's written so that it can be understood. The only people that don't understand it are all on the Supreme Court. But and that's deliberate, too. Judge Thomas is doing a great job, much to the chagrin of Jesse Jackson and a few others. Well, did you realize that in the Constitution, the only thing you're supposed to have in Washington, D.C. is to provide a common international representation, State Department, and a common defense, a War Department? That's all it's supposed to be in Washington. The rest of it's supposed to be in the states. What a change. You've come a long way, baby. And it's going to get worse. Now, let's look at a few executive orders. There are a few of them. I won't take the time just to give you the numbers, and there are a lot more of them. One, seize all communications media in the United States. Seize all electrical power, fuels, minerals, both public and private. Seizure of all food supplies and resources, public and private. All farms and farm equipment, and anyone who has over 30 days of food supply will be jailed or dealt with severely as a hoarder. And the 10999, seize all means of transportation, including personal cars, trucks, vehicles of any kind, and total control over all the highways, seaports, and waterways. 11,000, seize all American people for workforces under federal supervision, including splitting up of families if the government so desires. 11,001, seize all health and education welfare facilities, both public and private. 11,002, empower the Postmaster General to register all men and all women and children in the United States. And 11,003, seize all airports and aircraft therein. 04, seize all the housing and financial authorities to establish forced relocations, designated areas to be abandoned as unsafe, and establish new locations for whole populations, relocation of all of communities and building new housings from public funds. 05, seize all railroads, inland waterways, storage facilities, both public and private. Provide the Office of Emergency Planning complete authorization to put the above orders in effect in the time to increase national tension. Boy, that's getting really weak. Or economic or financial. Boy, isn't that something. Any of those things in there now would be grounds for declaring a national emergency. And these were all consolidated in Executive Order 12, 919, and executive order issued by Bill Clinton. And I want you to cheer up, because the individual that will be coordinating all this effort is the Attorney General, Janet Reno. Doesn't that give you a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling? She's the same person who sent the FBI to Waco to save the children. That's her own words. And why was the Oklahoma City Federal Building destroyed immediately and buried, and you're not even allowed to go dig at it? Boy, you crash an airplane and they look at it for years trying to figure out what happened. No, we don't have time to get into that. Killed 168, actually 169, because they found a male leg with a combat boot, a Vietnam boot, and a camouflage, and the leg didn't belong to anybody that it found. So one of the people that was in there triggered one prematurely, and all was left was his leg. But the official count's 168, because they didn't want you to know about the other one. And the New World Order conspiracy needed Congress to pass anti-terrorist laws. They failed in blowing up the World Trade Center, to which they wanted to get that done. But I think it was very clever. They really ought to screen some of their people that they hire for terrorists, because the idiot that botched the World Trade Center type thing even went back to the truck rental company and wanted his deposit back. They told him they didn't have the money right then. He should come back tomorrow and they'd have it for him. Well, yeah, they did. The police were waiting for him. It's amazing. A gentleman the other day who I know personally, I don't need to mention his name because some of you might not like him, but he said, unfortunately, in the United States, the terrorists wear federal badges. And, of course, they blame the Oklahoma building bomb on guns and patriots. Neither one was involved. I want you to know, without the Second Amendment, the rest of the amendments don't have any meaning at all. The Second Amendment, very good. It's the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed in any way. That same group up at Princeton, a professor asked me, what do you think about the Brady Law? And I said, it doesn't make any difference what I think about the Brady Law. She said, why not? I said, well, the Constitution says that the right for the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed in any way. So it doesn't make any difference what I think about it. That's what the Constitution says. I said, maybe you don't understand what keep means. That means you got the cotton picking thing and you can keep it. And bear, if you don't understand, means carry it. Is there something you don't understand about infringe? I'll be glad to explain that to you. Well, you're either going to go by the law or just make it up as you go, the way the Pope does, you know. I like the one when he was coming down on birth control, and the answer was, if you don't play the game, you don't make the rules. But in a book, More Guns, Less Crime, by Dr. Lott, John Lott, excellent. This book is based on 54,000 separate observations covering 3,000 counties in the United States and of a period of 18 years. It's the most thorough researched thing on weapons you can imagine. Here's what he found. The murder rates are 127% higher in states which ban, that is, do not allow, carrying concealed handguns. And in states with liberal keep and bear laws, the crime is reduced by 127%. And here's what he found. An increase of 1% in gun ownership reduces violent crime by 4%. It's never failed. I want to read you some statements from a bunch of radicals about keeping guns. Bill Clinton says, how dare these patriots say they love their country but they hate the government? Well, he just condemned our founding fathers. They loved America, but they weren't too fond of King George III. And so I don't love the government. I love this country. In fact, many of us laid our lives down at risk to do it. That's the reason I'm doing this, because this country is in more danger now than it ever was in any war since it became a nation. Listen to this. Governments derive their power from the consent of the governed. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. When a long train of abuses and usurpations establish such a design to reduce the people under absolute despotism, it is the right, yea, indeed the duty, to throw off such a government and to provide new guards for their future security. That's from that radical document we call the Declaration of Independence. George Washington, another radical religious right conspiracy nut. Free people ought not only to be armed and know how to use their weapon, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from anyone who might to attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government. Anyone who will trade his freedom for security will lose them both. Thomas Jefferson. The Constitution of most states in the United States proclaim that all power resides with the people, that they might exercise by themselves. It is their right and their duty at all times to be armed. They're entitled to freedom of person, freedom of religion, freedom of property, and freedom of speech. When he was alive, but now I find that he and Bobby were right on. John Kennedy, President Kennedy, 1961, says this: today we need a national Minutemen, citizens who are not only prepared to take up arms, but citizens who regard the preservation of their freedom as the basic purpose of their daily life and who are willing to consciously work and sacrifice to maintain their freedom. Well, the destruction goes on. So that's what our founding fathers had to say about it. The ongoing programs of the global plantation program. Christian persecution is following. Christian persecution in the world, and specifically here in the United States, is following exactly the pattern that Hitler used against the Jews. Ridicule. You can't criticize the Jews. You can't criticize any minority. You certainly can't criticize the Islam and any others. But a Christian's fair game. Movies, anywhere else. Just great sport. And pretty soon they'll be claiming us, as Janet Reno says, the fundamental Christians are a real danger to the future of the world, particularly if you believe the Bible and that sort of thing. She outlined a whole list of things that makes us dangerous. And it's coming on very rapidly. The dumbed down in schools, all deliberate. The National Education Department and the Department of Education. The solution is always more money. Don't change the program to get it back to where it would really work, like teaching the kids phonics. I think a cute one is this phonics. Our kids went through it. I mean, they had that look-say stuff, see, jam, jump, and all that. So we had to send them at our own expense for phonics so they could read. But the NEA, the National Educational Association, you ought to read their what they do when they meet, their resolutions they pass. They usually pass 20 or 30, and none of them have anything to do with education. Not one. But, as they said, and they really, I have this in writing, that they said, the look, say, you recognize words and you say them immediately, and if you come on to a new word, you have to read it in context, and then you'll know what the word means. But they said, how would you, and this was Phyllis Schlafly, says, how would you like to have a doctor and you had written down that you wanted to be circumcised and he thought it said castrated? There is a little difference. Well, they look alike.
Don't start with C.
But your rabbi, he would be able to read. But did you know that 52% of the people in the public schools are not teachers? Paper shufflers, bureaucrats. Dr. Mary Jo Bain, head of the educational portion of Health and Human Services, listen to what she said. This is a shocker. Not really, but she said this. Says, if we want to talk about equality of opportunity for the children, then the fact that your children are raised in families means that there is no equality. In order to raise children with equality, we must take them away from the families and communally raise them. You think communism is dead? That's almost word for word that appeared under directive of the Russian Communist Party educators in 1918. It said this. We must remove the children from the crude influence of their families. We must take them over and, so to speak, nationalize them so they can work for the corporations. And by the way, they're going to destroy small business. They only want the giant corporations. If you're a businessman right now, you've got more paperwork and more. It's just horrible. A dear friend of mine who is the chairman of the Ohio Republican Party, and he asked me to come and speak to the county chairmen along this line of the other talk that I had given. And he said that he was sitting across the table from Newt Gingrich not too long ago in Washington, D.C. And this dear brother, Dave Johnson, owns a large tile factory in Salem, Ohio. And he said, Mr. Gingrich, I absolutely cannot compete with the foreign tile companies. They undersell me because of their labor. And he said, Luke didn't even look up. He just said, well, why don't you move your plant to Mexico? And he said, before I could realize what I was saying, I said, why in the hell don't you go to Mexico and run for Congress? And Newt didn't look up yet either. There's an excellent book as to how we ended up this way, and the man didn't start out to do what he came to, but he knew just in his lifetime that the nation had just really changed. So he began to gather statistics on the increase of crime, unwed mothers, and all that sort of thing. And he found an amazing thing, that the nation began to fall apart in 1963. Then he traced back, and he found out it was in 62 that we took prayer out of the schools and took the Ten Commandments. I love a thing that happened in Oklahoma when they told them to take the Ten Commandments out of the entry of the high school because, as the Supreme Court said, someone might read it and think they're supposed to do it. Boy, that would be horrible, wouldn't it? But the kids down there, not to be outdone, they all vote T-shirts with the Ten Commandments on the front and the back. So they wear them to church. I mean, to school, wear them to school all the time. Illegal drugs will increase. You can draw your own conclusions. War on the Drugs Fund under Clinton has been reduced 85%. In other words, only 15% of what Reagan had is now being spent on fighting drugs. NINA is still operating, except they're using C-130s now instead of the smaller planes, and on and on. The government health care program. Well, it's certainly not a health plan. It's a sick plan, both all the way around. And that's a double meaning. It's really sick economically. But it's more of a disease care because you have to get sick before they pay any attention to you. I like the plan that was available in Hong Kong. You paid your doctor a vet fee, and if you ever got sick, he had to pay the hospital bill. Well, he has a vested interest in keeping you healthy. You know, that ounce of prevention. Well, we'd always suspected, because I hated to quote outside investigations, but here's what the Journal of American Medical Association found when they investigated themselves. And that's the issue of 15 April 1998. They found that deaths from prescription drugs, drugs prescribed by a doctor, kills at least 100,000 Americans every year and puts 2.2 million in a hospital from side effects. There's more money trying to fight cancer than there is of healing cancer. And there are known ways of doing it. Isn't it interesting? Deaths from illegal drugs, only 10,000. Maybe we're fighting the wrong drug war. Because Rockefeller, Rothschild own the pharmaceutical companies and control what the medical schools can teach and have done that since the turn of the century. People control. They try to concentrate the people in. By the way, independent studies, not the ones where the doctors investigated themselves, would double those figures. People control, they need them to get into the cities. So they make the cities very, very attractive because there are very few routes to escape and the interstates can be closed and other main highways. You can't get in, you can't out. No airlines, no trains, no trucks. And no city has more than 3 days of food within its borders. When the electricity fails, and we'll get into that in a minute, and it will fail, stops all that. Why do the people go to the cities? For jobs and better welfare programs. Isn't it very interesting, and this is a statistical fact, that a family of four in New York City, the welfare benefits will equal a working family income of $45,000 a year. The average working American earns only $27,000. Do you think these people on welfare are free? No, they're slaves. They are slaves. It was well said, anyone who will rob Peter to pay Paul will always get Paul's vote. Thomas Jefferson, if you take money from someone who's earned it and gave it to someone who didn't, it's still robbery, whether it's done at a point of a gun or through taxes. And they've come to accept these welfare things as their rights. Can you imagine what's going to happen when those checks stop? That's enough to declare a national emergency right away. There is a pattern that nations have followed. This was written way back by a man who died in 1813, and it's also confirmed by two other great world historians, Arnold Toynbee of Britain and Tolstoy of Russia. Listen to what he says in his book, The Decline and Fall of Republics. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. That's interesting. Our founding fathers knew that. They were a well-educated group. You will never, never, never find democracy mentioned in any of the founding fathers because they knew it was a lousy system. In fact, when they asked John Adams when he came out of the Constitutional Convention, what did you give us? And he said, I gave you a republic if you can keep it. So we don't have a republic anymore. We have a socialist democracy. It's just exactly what they have in Russia, and it's getting down to that level. But a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover they can vote themselves money from the public treasury. From the moment on, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefits from the public treasury. And with the result that a democracy always collapses over loss of financial policy, followed by a dictatorship. The average age of a world's greatest civilizations of democracy is only 200 years. The nations have all progressed through the following sequence. From bondage or slavery came spiritual faith. Now you'll see this in the Bible of Israel. And if he did it to Israel or the 10 tribes into Assyria and Judea into the Babylonian captivity, I don't imagine he's going to spare the United States. From bondage came spiritual faith, and from spiritual faith came great courage, and from courage came liberty, and from liberty to abundance, and from abundance to selfishness, and from selfishness to complacency, and from complacency to apathy, and from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back to slavery. Has America completed the full cycle of this folly? Probably so. Probably so. A national emergency can come from most any situations. Rapidly shaping up, China could create an emergency on down the line many, many, many other opportunities to pass a national emergency. I want to cover a few things about what's going on with wars and rumors of wars and that type thing, because he's destroying the military power of the United States, he, Clinton. Let me read you what it would take to be a very powerful nation. This was pretty clever. It was published in a, I forget where, what paper it came from, but it says at the heading, can you name this country? And here's what it is. This is the military strength of this country, and it would be a country that would have to be dealt with. 709,000 regular Army soldiers, 293,000 reservists, 8 regular Army divisions, 2 reserve divisions, 20 Air Force and Navy air wings with approximately 2,000 combat aircraft, 232 strategic bombers, 13 ballistic missile submarines with a total of 314 nuclear warheads on 223 missiles, 500 intercontinental ballistic missiles with 1,950 warheads, 4 aircraft carriers and 121 surface combat and attack submarines, plus all the support bases and transport and the logistics and access, not to mention the tanks and armor fighting vehicles and helicopters appropriate for such a force. Now, that would be a country that would be something you'd have to... That's what we've lost under Clinton. That's what he's taken out of the military. We don't have the money anymore. And as that isn't enough to destroy the military power, we have to have the homosexuals in. And if that isn't bad enough, they want to put women in combat. I just think any woman that wants to go to combat is crazy. No one wants to go to combat. But their arguments are they cannot compete in promotions unless they're allowed in to go into combat. The Marine Corps put the lie to that up until now and all the way through in World War II and the other. Because the Marine Corps trains their women separate on a separate base. They have their own female drill instructors, and they do not compete with male personnel for promotion. They compete among themselves. And get this as a career limitation. The first and only 3-star female general is a Marine. She is the director of Marine Corps personnel. So it puts the lie to it, and Nancy Katzenbaum and the others that were supposed to discover, supposed to investigate it and make a report to the president, said the government that the United States forces should be patterned after the Marine Corps. Well, that isn't what they wanted, so to heck with the study, they just go on. Israel used to have women in combat, but at the end of the 1973 war, they don't do that anymore because they found just exactly what Bob Barra, former commandant of the Marine Corps, a friend of mine, said. That's interesting. The commandant of the Marine Corps now, Chuck Krulak, was a captain in my command in Vietnam, a good officer. But anyhow, Bob Barra said that they would never have women in combat in the Marine Corps as long as he was commandant, because it's just built into a man, if he sees a woman in trouble, he'll rescue her. And he said, you'll kill a lot of Marines, and we're just not going to do it. And he said, that isn't even considering the logistics that are involved. Did you know in the Gulf War that 12% of the women that went over there came home pregnant? That's no surprise. At that age, they have the urge to merge. They do. But here's the problem. If you're a personnel officer, that's just like somebody got shot. You got to replace it. So it's a real problem. But when the women in Hillary's cabinet are running things, that's it. The Secretary of the Army is a woman and a whole bunch of others in there. Well, now let's get down to the Y2K thing. Boy, I've never read a paper exploring the Y2K that doesn't accept the fact that the electrical power grid will fail. There are many reasons it will. Right now, we don't know of any of them that are compliant with Y2K. And as every article points out, and no one's denied it, that they have somewhere around 40 million of these time-sensitive chips embedded in the power plants. And strange enough, they don't know where some of them are. They just know they're in there opening and closing valves on schedule. And they ran it forward. I forget which one of the nuclear plants it was. I think it was one out in California. They ran it forward to midnight, 1999. And when it flipped over, valves began to open. It was supposed to be closed. And everything just started going kapoy on the whole thing. So they know what will happen. And we have only a 22% margin of electricity above peak demand. Well, nuclear plants provide over 25% of our electricity. And by directive, or you might say by law, the Nuclear Regulatory Administration, if these plants cannot demonstrate that they're Y2K compliant by June of 1999, they have to come off the line, because they don't want to run the risk of what would happen if they were online. Well, there went our margin, and we're already, we'll have to have brownouts and rotating blackouts and all of that. And if one system goes down and that kind of thing, it can pull the whole system down. My brother-in-law is an executive with Ohio Edison. That's the electrical company. And I read in somewhere that if one system goes down, it takes 60 times, not 60%, it takes 60 times as much electricity to get that system back on, because all the transformers have to be reloaded and all that electricity. They don't have it. You're already operating below the minimum required. Well, I don't think we ever really thought about what happens when the lights go out, the elevators quit running, and all of that sort of thing. The gasoline pumps won't work. The trains can't run because they no longer have switches that can be manually actuated. They're all electronic. And it takes 3 train loads of 100 cars each per day to keep New York City's electrical plants running. They won't arrive. It'll also stop the food supplies. And, of course, the fellow that designed was on with Pat Robertson, who programmed the Health and Human Services computers for Ross Perot, who made his money off of that deal. And he said that even if you could find us old codgers who programmed those things, we couldn't fix it, because in those days we used Fortran and COBOL. And I went through the Defense Department Computer Institute. I was in the second class. And established a computer center in Kansas City that still runs the Marine Corps. And I know these things to be true. And I lost my train of thought, but anyhow, it will go down, and it'll pull everything else down with it. And a sick computer can act like a virus. It can pull other computers down. Oh, on the Health and Human Services, he said, that when we were setting up these mainframes, and the mainframes are the problem, you can fix your little PC. In fact, Macintosh probably already has. But when you access a mainframe, then you can't go anywhere. In fact, the mainframe may pull you down also. But as he said, when we were programming, it was so early in the evolution of the computers, and everything was developing so fast that we were confident that this equipment would be replaced and would have to be reprogrammed, and so they would correct it in the future when they bought the new computers. But they didn't buy the new computers. They were too expensive. So now the programmer's in there, and he said, we just kept fiddling with one till we found Fortran, COBOL, and then there was one they sort of made up, and whatever worked, that's what we did, and we didn't keep any notes. Oh, as he said, if you could find a bunch of old soul codgers, we couldn't fix it because we didn't keep any notes, and we don't know what we did. We just got the thing to work. If it took a kick in the right place, we kicked it in the right place and made it work. And then hook it up and run the smoke test. If it smoked, there was something wrong. It worked. And so the big thing is that. Now, I want you to know that we're going to find out pretty quickly how this thing's going to work, or whether it won't work. Because, as Harry mentioned this morning, some of the states start their fiscal years in March and April of next year. But most all of Asia, their fiscal year starts the first day of April. That's an appropriate date. April Fool! And, of course, we'll definitely know come the first day of October. 1999, because that's when the fiscal year of the United States starts, and the next year will enter, and a zero, which the computer will read as 1900. And things will begin to come unraveled. I wish I could tell everybody what to do, but I can't. I don't think I would try, even if I could, because it just won't work. Because we are a many-membered body. Each one has a different function. I love what Billy Graham said many years ago about some people missing God. His answer was, if you find two Christians doing the exact same thing, one of them missed God. Well, if it's a many-membered body, we all have different functions. And no one can tell you. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. There are many examples in the Bible that fallen man's nature always wants someone else to tell him what to do. And the New World Order really plans on this. I know you hear about the Russians that come over here to the United States to find a new world, but they don't tell you how many of them go back, because they just can't stand the pressure of finding their own job and showing up on time and doing all this. It's just too much pressure, so they go back where they're told what to do. Remember, God wanted to communicate with each of the Hebrews in the Exodus out of Egypt, but the people said to Moses, you go speak to us, and we will hear, but let not God speak to us. You know, no, God wants to speak to each of us. I want to read you from the Amplified Bible, 3 Colossians 3:15 from the Amplified Bible. We can hear from God through the Holy Spirit and His Holy Bible. Let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from the rule and act as an umpire continually in our hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in our minds. In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's body, you were called to live and to be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. And another one, as for as many who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. Romans 8:14. This is one that's meant a lot to my wife and I. In fact, this is the scripture that Gerald Ford, a devout Christian. By the way, Gerald Ford had more Christians in his cabinet than anyone before or since. He's given his testimony at full gospel business meetings. He met the Lord when he was playing center at Michigan State. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. Proverbs 3:5-6, King James. And 2 Chronicles 7:14, of which we all know very well, and we take it to be. And I would stop right here, because we have to hear from God. People ask me what I am doing. Well, I have a year's food supply for my wife and I. We happen to live in an area. We have our own well. And when I get back, I'm going to buy an auxiliary power unit. And I do not plan to stay in Akron, Ohio. But in case the Lord does lead us to stay there, then at least we'll have done the least that we can. And as the Bible says, anyone who sees trouble coming and doesn't prepare for it is a fool and is worse than a heathen or an infidel. But you'll have to be led by the Lord. We do not plan to stay in Akron unless the Lord leads us. We have many invitations to come to Christian communities who are, as one brother says, this is one Y2K community, and others. I'm a little reluctant to do that, but anyway, we're looking, we're accepting their invitations. I won't tell you the areas we look, because that might be an area that you would be led to go, but we're not led to go there. And people have asked me, well, how did your trip down to Una? I said, it turned out great. We found out we weren't supposed to be there. So, and if you don't feel at peace in it, then stop it. As one dear brother said, he doesn't sit on his behind until he gets a green light. He keeps moving until he gets a red light. It's awful hard to guide a ship at anchor. and you have to move out. Old Abraham, you know, you go, I'll show. And we found that to be true when we left Washington. Well, we'll close right there and see if there were any questions that we would try to answer. Yes, sir.
First question.
Oh, absolutely. But you see, it wasn't in the plan, because communism is just another branch of the New World Order. The Created Communism is an excellent book by Antony, not Anthony. Many people make a mistake and spell his name as Anthony, but it's not. It's Antony Sutton, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. The United States, under a fellow by the name of House, under Woodrow Wilson, we put in $20 million. Now, in 1917, $20 million was a lot of money. And England put in another $20 million. And they found old Lenin over there in London and 500 mercenaries they paid rather well and put them on a train and took them into Russia and overthrew the democratic government that was being formed under Kerensky. And they were going to have a parliamentary system. And they had the United States Constitution. And they couldn't allow that because in a democracy, or a republic would be impossible for them. But they have to have a central government so they control that government. And so they simply crossed, I think it was seven nations, and that train was never stopped for an inspection. It was cleared all the way through. And, of course, Mr. Kerensky was thrown out of the country and came to the United States and died in New York a few years ago. So that's what that was all about. These people hate democracies. That's the reason democracies are disappearing. I can't really think of a true democracy on the face of the earth today, pointing out the United States is not. We're a socialist democracy. Did you realize that the Communist Party in Russia today, all they did, same people, they changed their name to Social Democrats? I want to... Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask about England. First of all, Churchill, CFR...
Oh, it was Churchill. Churchill's allegiance was to Britain, and we could go back and trace to the point that the Royal Institute of International Affairs was a means of Britain maintaining its world influence. And we know now through some additional research that after the War for Independence, the holdings of the British and the United States were honored, and so nothing really changed as far as the control of our economy, even after the War for Independence, to a great degree. The landowners, all those, still hold it. And then, of course, then along the Civil War came, and the one side of the Rockefeller supported the North, and the other side of the Rothschilds contributed to the South, wanted to split it up, and I don't care whether you like it or not, but by the Constitution, the Southern states had the right to secede by the Constitution. That's still there. There are 14 states who have passed resolutions and sent them forward to the federal government that if we don't withdraw from the United Nations, they will secede.
And the other is I read stuff about Prince Charles being...
Oh, my. You can get my tape, Mr. 666, it's audio, they have it here, or get the video. No, but Prince Charles is very powerful. In fact, there's a lady who goes to the same church my son attends in Washington, D.C. It's Church of the Holy Redeemer. And she has written a book on Charles, and my son sent us a copy of that book. Glenn sent me a tape on Prince Charles, and this book confirms all that was in that, plus a whole lot more. There's a very interesting link between Prince Charles and Vice President Al Gore, the so-called wooden Indian. But isn't it interesting that Armand Hammer, whose father founded Communist Party USA, and therefore was a personal friend of Stalin. Madeleine Albright, our Secretary of State, Stalin acknowledged her father as his right-hand man. And you could say the same of many others in Washington, D.C. So their connection between Arm and Hammer was that Prince Charles' godfather was Arm and Hammer. And Arm and Hammer financed the senior Albert Gore, to become a senator. And then so his son could inherit his seat, he stepped down and became president of Occidental Oil. So you see, Al Gore and Prince Charles have a very close head. Now, I can't establish it, but I've heard from two sources that Prince Charles is considered the head of the Freemasonry, Masonic move. And in this book, it actually quotes out of a newspaper that Diana had made the remark that they will try to get rid of me. I know too much. And so it might well be.
And the finest ruling men of Europe, Prince Charles is number one.
Yeah. And, of course, you could go through. Excellent book here you can buy. It's Guardians of the Grail.
Yeah.
Which it goes all the way back to the Habsburgs and a bunch of others who are the kings of Salem or Jerusalem. And it should be because they insist that they are the descendant and the offspring of Mary Magdalene and Jesus. And they actually hold a lot of the artifacts from the temple. And the surprise of surprises is that one of the Habsburgs is the head of the European Parliament. But they're all just titular operators in the whole thing. But, you know, at the head you come to this pyramid of power, which many of the rulers that I, many of the well-known men said that the governments are run by a force that is not apparent to the general public. But it's becoming apparent. In fact, they're becoming so blatant about the whole thing that they just don't really care. After all, they control the news media. That, the thing I showed you with the conspiracy on it, the beauty of that is it tells you by name who all these people are and what jobs they have, and the CFR and the Trilateral and all of that in there. And it even gives you a rundown of the organizations that the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the others support, and how much they support it. Wouldn't be any surprise. They support the NEA. And they also supported these NGOs, they call them, non-government organizations that met, that established the International Criminal Court. They paid the expenses of all these NGOs to go over there to draft the whole thing and then ramrodded it through the whole bit. They pay for it because it's all coming in that the governments will exist only to do the will of the giant corporations. It's coming to that, and that's the reason they want it. Now, let's look at some scenarios that it might not work out the way they have it planned, and this is biblical. The plan is essentially to get everything back under the control of the British Empire. As John Coleman, Dr. Coleman, many others, and this book on Prince Charles all point out. Now there's going to be a conflict. Rockefellers already in 1991 walked out of a Bilderberger meeting because of a disagreement with the Rothschilds. Now this happened in the Bible. Once they got the power, they begin to argue about who's going to have the ultimate power. And they kill each other. Glory to God. I think one of the beautiful things is, as Colonel Ammerman pointed out, there are giant cities underground because of something I don't want to get into right now. But one in Pennsylvania, one in Maryland, and one out in Denver, and he says there's probably one in New Mexico somewhere. Giant cities already equipped with food and independence because, we almost have to tell you that sometime around the year 2000, all the planets are going to be in alignment, and it's the first time, according to the astronomers, that this is the first time it's happened in 60,000 years that it will coincide exactly with the 11.5-year cycle of the maximum explosions occurring upon the sun. And, of course, our Appalachian Mountains we found after we got satellites, that as the moon goes around the earth, the Appalachian Mountains rise and fall 20 inches because we're floating on a magnet. Can you imagine what will happen when you get all the planets lined up? You can get all you want, but the worst scenarios is that this nation will break in about the middle and all the water in the Great Lakes will drain into the Gulf, and all those things are possible. And but the interesting thing is, as Colonel Ammerman points out, isn't it great that all of these guys, that they call it NOAA number two. You see, they're providing, that's the code name for this operation. And isn't it wonderful that they're heading for these underground cities and we may have earthquakes? How would you like to be underground when you have an earthquake? You know, the bureaucrats don't think sometimes. But, you know, God has his own plan. It's like James Golden said. God isn't going to throw up his hands and say, due to circumstances beyond my control. Hallelujah. That's just not in his vernacular.
So, that brings to mind the scripture about where they're calling for the hills to come. They're hiding in the caves.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yes.
And then they'll say, let the mountains fall on
them. Yes.
Well, their prayers might be answered. You know, better be careful what you pray for. It might come to
pass.
Yes, sir.
I have a friend that has a daughter that works for Exxon.
Yeah.
And she said in 94, they replaced all their computer system worldwide.
Uh-huh.
And in this last spring of 98, they have replaced their entire computer system worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So you see all the big boys, I know you know this,
yeah.
All these great conglomerates and all this are going to be online, yeah. In '99.
Yeah, you have to realize, too, now about the stock market. It will collapse, but they haven't gotten everybody in they'd like to have in. So I think this last flurry is going to pull a lot of people to go borrow money and bet on the horse race. It's the only one that's what you're doing. You're just betting on the race. And because they do manipulate the stock market just like they do everything else. It's all a rigged show, but the general public doesn't learn. And as they asked Andrew Carnegie one time, what about the stock market? Well, it will go up and it will go down. And because they got it. You can't make any money on a flat one. You have to buy on the lows and sell on the highs. Like Will Rogers said, if you want to make money in the stock market, buy low, sell high. If it doesn't go high, don't sell. So, very good.
Ross Perot.
Mm-hmm.
Is he for real, and was he correct about NAFTA?
Absolutely he's correct about NAFTA. He had to be right about something. But you have to realize that he was a spoiler. He's a part of the conspiracy. And they had to make sure that their chosen people, like Clinton, was elected. They were pretty sure of it, but they wanted to make sure. Well, how did Ross Perot get his money? Well, he contracted to do the computer work for Health and Human Services. That's when it used to be Health and Human Welfare. And that's how he got it. And a payback on it was his number one lawyer. His wife is now on the Supreme Court. Ruth Ginsburg is now on the Supreme Court. That was a payback to put her on the Supreme Court, plus the fact, you know, how she'll vote. She'll vote to go right along with it. So it's sort of an incestual type thing. The only individual I could possibly support that is a contender for the president would be Patrick Buchanan. But I don't know. You better keep your eye on Colin Powell, because last year...
Senator from Missouri.
Oh, could be, but he hadn't attended any Bilderberger meetings. Remember, a year before Clinton became president, standing right here, I told people that Clinton would be the next president because he was the guest of honor at the Bilderberger meeting in 1990. Well, the guest of honor last year at Atlanta of the Bilderberger was Colin Powell, who has been a CFR member from way back. As Harry pointed out this morning, you don't get to be Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff without being a part of the conspiracy.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.